Good morning, Symphony, and welcome to our morning devotional. Today's passage comes from Judges chapter 18. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the people of Dan was seeking for itself an inheritance to dwell in. For until then, no inheritance among the tribes of Israel had fallen to them. So the people of Dan sent 5 able men from the whole number of their tribe, from Zorah and from Eshtaol, to spy out the land and to explore it. They said to them, "Go and explore the land." They came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there. When they were by the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite, and they turned aside and said to him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What is your business here?" And he said to them, "This is how Micah dealt with me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest." And they said to him, "Inquire of God, please, that we may know whether the journey on which we are setting out will succeed." And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. The journey on which you go is under the eye of the Lord." Then the 5 men departed and came to Laish, and saw the people who were there, how they lived in security after the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and unsuspecting, lacking nothing that is in the earth and possessing wealth, and how they were far from the Sidonians and had no dealings with anyone. And when they came to the brothers at Zorah and Eshtaol, their brother said to them, "What do you report?" They said, "Arise, and let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And will you do nothing? Do not be slow to go, to enter in and possess the land. As soon as you go, you will come to an unsuspecting people. The land is spacious, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is in the earth." So 600 men of the tribe of Dan, armed with the weapons of war, set out from Zorah and Eshtaol, and went up and encamped at Kiriath Jearim in Judah. On this account, that place is called Mahane Dan to this day. Behold, it is west of Kiriath Jearim. And they passed on from there to the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. Then the 5 men who had gone to scout out the country of Laish said to their brothers, "Do you know that in these houses there are an ephod, household gods, a carved image, and a metal image? Now therefore consider what you will do." They turned aside there and came to the house of the young Levite at the home of Micah and asked him about his welfare. Now the 600 men of the Danites, armed with their weapons of war, stood by the entrance of the gate. And the 5 men who had gone to scout out the land went up and entered and took the carved image, the ephod, the household gods, and the metal image, while the priest stood by the entrance of the gate with the 600 men armed with weapons of war. And when these went into Micah's house and took the carved image, the ephod, the household gods, and the metal image, the priest said to him, "What are you doing?" And they said to him, "Keep quiet, put your hand on your mouth and come with us, and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for you to be a priest to the house of one man, or to be priest to a tribe and clan in Israel?" And the priest's heart was glad. He took the ephod and the household gods and the carved image and went along with the people. So they turned and departed, putting the little ones and the livestock and the goods in front of them. When they had gone a distance from the home of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house were called out, and they overtook the people of Dan. And they shouted to the people of Dan, who turned around and said to Micah, "What is the matter with you, that you come with such a company?" And he said, "You take my gods that I made, and the priest, and go away, and what have I left? How then do you ask me, what is the matter with you?" And the people of Dan said to him, "Do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows fall upon you, and you lose your life with the lives of your household." Then the people of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his home. But the people of Dan took what Micah had made, and the priest who belonged to him. They came to Laish, to a people quiet and unsuspecting, and struck them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. And there was no deliverer, because it was far from Sidon, and they had no dealings with anyone. It was in the valley that belongs to Beth-Rehob. Then they rebuilt the city and lived in it, and they named the city Dan, after the name of Dan, their ancestor, who was born to Israel. But the name of the city was Laish at first. And the people of Dan set up carved image for themselves, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, son of Moses, and his sons were priests to the tribe of the Danites until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up Micah's carved image that he made as long as the house of God was at Shiloh. Amen. Yesterday's devotional on Judges 17, verse 6 says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Today's passage is a continuation of that, starting with the same line in verse 1, "In those days, there was no king in Israel." Today's passage highlights three main characters, and I'll be going through each of their actions. Number 1, the Danites. The Danites are one of the 12 tribes of Israel who were given an inheritance in the Promised Land. They were originally sent to the southwestern part of Israel, but were under pressure from the Philistines and other strong nations. They should have trusted in God to provide for them, but instead they ventured out to seek a land that was better in their eyes, eventually striking down the quiet and unsuspecting residents of Laish. It's ironic how before they went, they asked a Levite, a priest, if the missions was going to be successful. They were spiritually confused, asking this rogue Levite to see if the righteous God would answer them. The quote, "blessing" that they got gave them the assurance to go with their plan, not God's. It's as if a fifth grader asked his fellow classmate if they could have recess instead of nap time. The classmate has no authority or ground to make that decision or discernment, yet they were asked instead of the teacher. Have you ever sought after a blessing or confirmation, even though you knew there was no real blessing from God? Instead of really seeking God's plans, you may latch on to any small, quote, confirmations to go with your own plan. Perhaps God is calling you to trust Him despite not seeing your circumstances aligning. Are you trying to enact your own plan without God? Who do you go to when seeking discernment? Do you seek out spiritual leaders and mentors, or do you talk to people that know will say what you want to hear? Seek grounded spiritual guidance from people that are walking in step with God. You may feel wounded if they say something that you are not wanting to hear, but Proverbs 27:6 says, "The wounds of a friend are faithful, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Number 2, the Levite priest. In the previous chapter, we see this Levite priest who was supposed to serve God in the tabernacle, putting himself out for hire by Micah. The allure of money and security was enough for him to forsake his calling. Judges 17:11 said, "And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man became to him like one of his sons." Micah was like one of his sons, but when the allure of being a priest for a whole tribe instead of one household came up, it was just too good to pass up, and he quickly jumped ship. The Levite forsook his calling to serve the tabernacle. Now, we may not be a Levite, but God has given us a calling. Our calling is to love God, to love people, and to go and make disciples of all nations. A life with God does not mean our lives will be perfect, and that we won't face any hardships. Just like the Levite, the allure of the world, reputation, success, beauty, these things can veer us away from our true purpose. Let's be steadfast and unwavering in our faith when these allures try to tempt us to jump ship. Number 3, Micah. When the tribe of Dan took all of Micah's idols, shrines, and his priests, he replied, "You take the gods that I made and the priests and go away, and what have I left?" His false gods were once contained in his household, would now be catastrophic, becoming established idols in the tribe of Dan. God will later bring his judgment because of this. When the tribe took Micah's gods away, the gods couldn't fight for themselves. We have a God who is victorious, who defeated death itself. We have a God who fights for us. In the end, these gods were not worth dying for or fighting for, as Micah gave up his pursuit of retrieving them. But we have a God who fought and died for us, although we were completely undeserving of grace and forgiveness. Therefore, we have a God who is worth laying down our lives for, taking up the cross daily, dying to our own desires and ways in order to follow him. Micah says, "What have I left? His priest deserted him." But we have Jesus, the great high priest, appointed not by men, but by God, who in Hebrews 4:16 says, gives us the confidence to draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Verse 1 says, "There was no king in Israel, but we have a king. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and his name is Jesus. Brothers and sisters, perhaps God is exposing the idols in our lives and is asking us to surrender them. We may be like Micah asking, then what do I have left? A life with God will leave you with this. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Allow the love of God to abide in your heart today. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word today that just so clearly demonstrates that God, you are truly the one that remains. The false gods that Micah had were not worth dying for or fighting for, but God, that's exactly what you did for us. And so as we reflect upon the cross, as we reflect upon the idols that we have built up in our own lives, we pray, Jesus, that you would come and do your work in our hearts, and that we would receive the fullness of your love that will abide. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.